is Christ. When they heard this, verse 5, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they spoke with tongues and prophesied. Now, the men were about 12 in all. So the first thing that Paul encountered in Ephesus is what I call incomplete doctrine. So Paul met these group of people who were saved, who actually believed and wanted to do the right thing, but they hadn't been preached the full gospel yet. They did not know that there was a Holy Spirit. They did not know that there was something more than simply saying, God, forgive me for my sins. See, sometimes when we get saved, because we're so sorrowful, we get saved, God forgives us for our sins, but we stop right there. And then after a good 2-3 months, we start to see that, okay, God, I need something more than forgiveness. I need cleansing. I need something more than cleansing. I need an indwelling of your Spirit. So what we see here is that these 12 men, yes, they were saved. Yes, they believed, but they did not have the full gospel. So Paul here encountered incomplete doctrine. Now, you might be asking yourself, well, that was Paul. But the truth is this, that we see this every day in our own churches all around the nation. We have many churches who say, we just preach salvation. We just preach, hey, just, you know, do your penance, you know, play with your rosary beads and say what you're sorry for and you're good. But the truth about this is that without the Holy Spirit, without the actual work and power and move of the Holy Spirit, we all know that this is how the Christian life goes, up and down. Trying to be good by your own strength, fail. God, I'm sorry. Try to be good by your own strength, fail. God, I'm sorry. Just going up and down, never having any victory. So Paul is showing us here that the first kind of doctrine that he encountered was incomplete doctrine. And once again, these people did believe. They were Christians, but they truly did not know what they believed into. And sometimes that is where we are. We believe, we know that we love God, but we truly haven't taken time to open this book up and figure out what we've been saved into. It's kind of like opting for a benefit plan at work, but you don't take time to read it. And you're sick, coughing, sick, and you haven't read your plan that says you have free health care. That's what this is. Like, we need to take time and dig into this and truly figure out what this book says, what this book is prescribing for my life. So in Ephesus, that is the first kind of doctrine that Paul encountered. Verse 8. So this is Paul once again on his journey in Ephesus. And it says, and he went into the synagogue and spoke boldly for 3 months, reasoning and persuading concerning the things of the kingdom of God. But when some were hardened and did not believe, but spoke evil of the way before the multitude, he departed from them and withdrew the disciples, reasoning daily in the school of Tyrannus. So Paul encounters a second group of people. And this second group of people is what I call big brain doctrine. It's your theologians, your wise men, those who understand definitions and the Greek and the Hebrew, but they don't understand Jesus. So Paul encounters these group of people. And of course, Paul being a learned man, Paul is going back and forth with them. They are talking scripture. They're going back and forth. And they simply say, no, Paul, we want nothing to do with this newfound faith that you are speaking of. So they push Paul away. So big brain doctrine. One of the problems of this kind of doctrine, which we have all seen, is that the church will continue, but the church will miss the move of God. In verse 11, it says this. So after Paul left, it says this. Now God worked unusual miracles by the hands of Paul, so that even the handkerchiefs or aprons were brought from his body to the sick, and the diseases left them, and the evil spirits went out of them. So though Paul preached, Paul also demonstrated. And what we saw here is that Paul came to the Jews saying, hey, Christ is the way. That man who hung on the cross was truly God. Paul was preaching saying, hey, this is the way. They said, nope, we don't want that. So Paul left here to go there and kept on preaching, and the move of God broke out here. But that church, those Jews over there, still missed the Holy Spirit. So we see this often. Many different churches, many different denominations who say, hey, we simply teach people how to study the Bible. We simply teach people definitions, but we don't teach them how to walk with the Holy Spirit. We don't teach them that they actually need the Holy Spirit and the move of the Holy Spirit to have a life in Christ. Because life in Christ is not just definitions and knowing the Greek and the Hebrew. Life in Christ is knowing a person. And we can't know that person unless we walk with the Holy Spirit. So what we see here is the big brain doctrine. Information without transformation. All you know is what the book says, but you don't really know how the book fits in your life. This book truly hasn't grabbed a hold of your heart and truly changed who you are. And we see here that Paul, in true Paul fashion, he first preached the word of God. He preached the word of God first. Then it says that God did miracles by the hands of Paul, not by the mind of Paul, by the hands of Paul. God was doing things that Paul's mind could not explain. Let's be real. None of us would be able to explain how this cloth could heal somebody. If I could just touch that cloth and give it to someone out there and it healed you, my brain could not physically explain that. But once again, Paul preached the word of God first. And then God backed up what Paul was saying and did miracles by his hands. So we see here that this is another kind of doctrine that we often will encounter. The big brain doctrine. The doctrine that simply says we simply need to know all the definitions but don't know the person of the book. So yes, we should study. Yes, we should do all the work that we need to do to learn what this book is saying. But our doctrine must make room for the Holy Spirit. Our doctrine can't close off the Holy Spirit. Because oftentimes when we do that, we put God in this box saying, well, God only answers like this. God only does this. And God's like, but I'm out here. Like, I'm waiting for you to step into the ocean like Peter did. No doctrine can explain how Peter walked on water. Nothing in my brain can say, yeah, Peter did this. No, like only faith. So by faith, when we hear the word of God, we find out who Christ is. And by faith, we grab onto that and we begin to walk in things that we never thought we could. So the third doctrine that Paul encountered in Ephesus is what I call strange fire doctrine. Strange fire. Verse 13 reads of Acts chapter 19. Then some of the itinerant Jewish exorcists took it upon themselves to call on the name of the Lord Jesus over those who had evil spirits, saying, we exorcise you by the name of Jesus whom Paul preaches. Also, there were seven sons of Sceva a Jewish chief priest who did so. And verse 16 says this, and the man in whom the evil spirit was. So they were trying to cast out this evil spirit because they saw Paul do it. So they said, hey, let's go do what Paul did. Right? Paul took that cloth and did this and it worked. So let's go and do what Paul did. They didn't preach. They didn't tell them who Christ was. They didn't tell them that he died for the sins. They just said, hey, we have a formula that works. Let's grab this cloth and smack it on the face and watch. They'll be healed. And of course, as we know what happened in verse 16, it says, and the man in whom the evil spirit was on leaped on them, subdued both of them, and overpowered them so that they escaped out of their house naked and wounded. So the third type of doctrine that Paul saw in Ephesus is strange fire doctrine. And we often see this because we have a lot of, and I don't like to put people in a box, but we have our charismatic movement where it's just all manifestations. We just want to manifest. We just want to run around and feel goosebumps all day long, but there's no preaching. We just want to feel all these things, but there's no actual relationship. Because what they said is, I'm coming to you with the name that Paul preaches. I don't know that name, but I'm a username. So we see here a strange fire doctrine. And oftentimes what happens when such doctrine is preached from a pulpit is people are left wounded. People are spiritually naked. People are also defeated. So Paul encountered three different types of doctrine in Ephesus. So that was the intro to the sermon. So now let's actually get into the actual sermon. Because once again, we are talking about why exactly does doctrine matter? So I just showed you three different kinds of doctrines that Paul encountered. But why does that matter? Why does the word of God matter? If somebody came to you and said, hey, why does this book matter? Why does what Jesus teach matters? What would your answer be? So the answer to false doctrine is right doctrine, is correct doctrine, which is why Paul said, so let's go back to our main text for the day, 1 Timothy 1, verse 3. We'll read from verse 4. And it says, nor give heed to fables and endless genealogies which cause disputes. So false doctrine produces disputes rather than godly edification, which is in Christ. So Paul is a big brain. Paul is a smart man. So Paul just gave us a whole sermon in less than 5 words. So my goal this morning is to actually attempt to walk through that and just break down what exactly Paul was saying. So Paul tells us this in verse 5. Now, the purpose of what I just told you is love. So the purpose of doctrine, of correct doctrine, of right doctrine is love. So doctrine, what we read, what we study, what we see in this book is supposed to produce love in us. That is the point of doctrine. But there is a process to this thing happening. Because oftentimes we hear, and even the world quotes as saying, God is love. And then they do what? They attempt to do love without God. So they say, oh yeah, hey, Christian, don't be a bigot because God is love. Now I'm going to show you love without even knowing this God. But we see here that Paul is saying that there is a process, that doctrine, what we read, what we study should actually be producing something in us. And other times we try to love on our own strength. We try so we read the word of God and it says, do this. And then we try to do it in our own strength. But Paul, once again, is saying here that no, doctrine will produce love in you. Because love is not something that you do. It's something that is produced in you. And the only way to love correctly is by finding out what this book says, is by reading this book and letting it begin to change your life. So let's really walk through what Paul is saying here. Media team, can you show me the first slide? So what Paul is saying here, so Paul says this once again in verse 4. No need to show the text, but Paul says this, that that nor give heed to fables and endless genealogies which cause disputes rather than godly edification. So Paul is saying that correct doctrine should produce godly edification. So what is godly edification? When you look up the definition of that word, the Greek word is oikonomia, and it basically means economy. So what that text is saying is that true doctrine, correct doctrine, should produce God's economy in your life. Now, as you guys know, economy is simply the wealth and resources of a country, or how those resources are managed. And you guys know this too, that Jesus is the economy, because the fullness of the Godhead dwells on Jesus. And all kingdoms must have an economic plan. So that is a plan to distribute the resources of that nation. So in the book of Colossians 1:27, Paul tells us what that plan is. And that plan is called Christ in you. So Christ in you and Christ in me, that's how God actually wants to put his life in every single one of us. So what Paul is saying in that text is that correct doctrine will produce Christ in you. Correct doctrine will actually put God's plan in your life. Correct doctrine reveals to us who Jesus is. It reveals to us who he is and what his plan for our lives is. So Paul is saying that false doctrine, it produces disputes, but correct doctrine produces in us God's plan, which is Christ in us for our lives. And then Paul says this though, next slide please. Paul says this though, but godly edification, so God's plan, God's economy, which is in faith. So what Paul is saying here is that faith is the only access point to this plan. Faith is the only way that you and I can actually get access to the resources and the wealth that we have in Christ. So Paul is saying that just like Jesus said in John chapter 10, verse 9, that the sheep enter through the door, which is Christ. And the sheep enters into the pasture, and the sheep feeds from the shepherd. What Paul is saying here, that we are the sheep, and what doctrine does is it begins to produce Christ in us. And then as we eat the word, as we study the word, as we pray this word, Christ in us begins to be formed. As Christ in us is being formed, then we begin to love. But oftentimes, we like to skip all that and just try to love by our own strength. Try to love by what we think is right. But Paul is saying here that there is a process to love. There is a way that it should go. Sound doctrine shows us who Jesus is. And false doctrine causes disputes. And sometimes we think of false doctrine as something that's so flagrantly obvious. But false doctrine could be small things like, well, they're the fake Jews and we're the real Jews. False doctrine could be things like, well, no woman should ever stand on a stage and no woman can ever teach. False doctrine can be small little things that puff up self, that make self feel like I've earned my way into what God has for me. Because false doctrine is about works. It's about what can I do? What do I bring to the table? Where true, correct doctrine is simply faith in Jesus. What has he done? What did he do on the cross for me? And when we evidence faith in Jesus, and we keep on evidencing faith in Jesus, what Paul is saying here, that Christ in us will begin to be formed. We will begin to look like him without even trying. And God's love, God's heart will be produced in us. So in closing, turn me to Matthew 24. Matthew 24, verse 11. While prepping for this message, I kept on saying, God, why are you having me teach about doctrine? Like, what's the point? Why am I spending time doing PowerPoint slides and trying to figure out what Paul is trying to say? Because Paul is a big brain, and you know, you can get lost in what Paul is trying to say. And the Holy Spirit put this next scripture on my heart. And once I got it, it just all made sense. So Matthew 24, verse 11. And it says this: that many false prophets will rise up, deceiving many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. So I used to think that the scripture was talking about the world. That, oh, yes, you know, the world is lawless. But if you read closely, it says this, that many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. False prophets do not deceive the world. They deceive Christians. They deceive people who actually once had faith in Christ. So this text is about those who are saved at some point. And it's saying that many false prophets will rise, and they will deceive many by what? By false doctrine, by wrong teaching. And then the next verse says, and because iniquity, because what's inside, because lawlessness will abound. So when correct doctrine is preached, Christ in us begins to grow. When false doctrine is preached, lawlessness, iniquity in us begins to grow. And then the text says this, that the love of many will grow cold. So Paul is saying that there is a process. When true doctrine is preached, Christ is revealed. We grab onto him by faith. He begins to do his work in us by the Holy Spirit. And then love begins to be produced in us. But then this text says that the love of many will grow cold because of the false doctrine that is being preached. Because many simply hear, but don't take time to go back and check the word for themselves. Many simply trust a man on stage to be saying the truth, but don't take the time to check with the Holy Spirit that God has given them to say, is what Brother Ike's saying even true? Is he just up there just saying what he thinks, or is he sticking to the word of God? And it's interesting because that word in verse 12, iniquity, simply means lawlessness. So many, because of the false doctrine, they will reject God's inward rule. They will reject his economy, his government that is made to be growing in their heart, and simply go after what they want to go after. So true doctrine produces Christ in us. That is the goal of everything that we read and study in this church, is Christ in us, which is love. Which is love. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians 5:14. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14. And I'll end with this scripture. This is Paul once again writing. And he says this: for the love of Christ controls us, constrains us, compels us, because we have concluded this, that one has died for all, therefore all have died. So Paul is making it plain that this thing that is being produced in us, this is our new law. This is how we live our lives now. The very love of Christ, which first starts with doctrine being preached, and then as Christ is being formed in us, that is how we are meant to live on this side of the cross. So this morning, I simply want to end with this, because many times we go to God for things that aren't really missing, or we go to God saying, God, give me a pure heart, give me a new heart, give me a better conscience, or God, I like faith. Faith, give me more faith, give me more, just help me to trust you more. And what Paul is saying here, that those things are produced when we get in the Word. Those things come when we spend time in the Word. You don't have to pray for those things. Spend time in the Word. The more you see him in here, the more you actually spend time and study and truly ask the Holy Spirit to help you understand what this Word is saying. Those things will naturally be just formed in you. Because my child, who is 2, doesn't have to say, Daddy, make me big. No, baby, just eat your food daily. Just eat your food and naturally you will be big. If you want to be big in Christ, eat your food daily, naturally. At some point, you will be big, but you can't skip doctrine. You can't skip what this Word is saying. You can't cry enough. You can't fast enough. You can't give enough. God has put principles in place. Just like in the natural, you have principles. In the spiritual, there are principles. You are what you eat. That's simply all Paul is saying here. So this morning, search your own hearts. Let's just take a moment and just simply go before God. See, my prayer for this upcoming year is, Lord, help me fall in love with your Word more. Help me truly make this Word the main thing that I eat. Help me not to be dependent on the physical, on what I see, but help me to actually truly grow in my knowledge of this Word. And not just knowledge as far as knowing what the definitions are, but truly knowing the person that this book is about. So, Father, this morning, we just come to you asking you, Lord Jesus, search our hearts. Search our hearts, Father. Lord, you know how much we love you, because you know how much love has been produced in us, because you know how much of this book we've let actually impact our lives. Father, no man is bigger than their study life and their prayer life. So, Father, this morning, we simply ask you, Lord, give us a hunger once again for your Word. Let us not get caught up in trying to be something, but let us just be caught up in just sitting at your feet and learning from you and studying your Word and finding out what your Word says. Because, Father, the Scripture has said that in the last days that many, their love would grow cold. So, Father, this morning, help us, Lord Jesus. Help our love not grow cold, but help us to press into your Word daily. Help us to study your Word and help us to be patient and simply let the Word truly do what it said it will do. Because, Father, you have said that heaven and earth shall pass away, but your Word never will. So we know that we have a sure thing in this Word. We know that we can place our life on this Word and that this Word will never fail us. Oh, we just thank you this morning, Jesus. We thank you.
Lord, your Word never fails us, Father. It never fails us. Give the Lord a hand clap. As we reflect on what Brother Ike brought forth, remember every day that we need to get in the Word of God, because it is our direction. This is supposed to be our life. This is our life. He gave it to us to walk it out, so that we could spend eternity with him. Amen. Again, if you haven't given already, we ask that you do. We do need your support, and we do thank you for your support. Those that have joined us by webcast, we thank you so much for being here with us. We hope to see you in the 11 o'clock service as well, too. If you would rise. And we have one more announcement. Friday, December 5th, which is this coming Friday, between 10 and 12 p.m., we will have Ignite Prayer here in the sanctuary. So if you're able to make it, please come out and join us in prayer. What I say unto one, I say unto all, seek the Lord every day. Spend time with him every day so we can grow in doctrine every day. You're dismissed.